Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Continuing the discussion of Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, the discussion of the name Bhakta Vatsala, the Supreme Lord, who is protective, loving, nourishing, affectionate toward his devotees. And the example is given, the analogy is given of just like a cow toward the calf. So that's a material analogy, of course, but it's something which we can, from our present situation, we can get some inkling of the affection that the Supreme Lord has for us. Now, in today's talk and discussing Bhakta Vatsala, I want to read a section of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's Madhurya Kadambini, describing the experience of prem in the heart of a devotee when Krishna manifests himself to the devotee, because this is the ultimate gift that Krishna gives to his devotee. He gives himself, which means love of himself. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find Bhajana Madhe Shrishta Navavidha Bhakti Krishna Prem Krishna Dite Dhare Mahashakti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that of all the different processes of devotional service, the 9 famous processes, as mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam, these are the best. And why? Because they give Krishna Prem. They give Krishna. So they give Krishna, which means giving Krishna Prem. They give Krishna Prem, which means giving Krishna. They have great power to do so. So this is the ultimate manifestation of what Krishna gives us. He nourishes us. He protects us. Ultimately, he gives himself. He gives love of himself. And it's Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur will describe how it's an overwhelming experience. It's this Jogiradhyan Nirvishesha Gyan Ekani Napai Stiti. I was quoting that yesterday, that what the yogis seek, what the impersonalists seek in their spiritual journey is peace. They want to get free from the ashesha, klesha, nishesha. This is the situation of material life. The unending, unlimited sufferings of material existence. So it's intelligent to want to get free from that suffering, to attain shanti, shanti, shanti. But as we will hear from Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, there's the ashanti, the non-peacefulness of a devotee, which almost seems to rip him apart. His emotion. The yogis, their aim is chitta vritti nirodha, just stop all the activities of the mind and the senses, just stillness, complete stillness. But the devotee has a different experience, and we may not be there. We're all in the gutter, but some are looking up at the stars, said Oscar Wilde, an Irish poet who had no idea of devotional service, but he, like many people, who didn't have any idea of devotional service. Many intellectuals in the West, and not just intellectual, they're not just hardcore scientists or empiricists, they're romanticists. They have an idea of there's something sweet beyond this, the grind of everyday life. There's something precious, sweet. There is love, but unfortunately they didn't have information of Krishna. So we're all in the gutter. Yeah, especially those of us coming from the Western world, we're deeply, deeply in the gutter. But some of us are looking up at the stars. And as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, nakshatranam aham shashi, among the stars, I am the moon. So looking up at the star, looking up at the moon, Krishna Chandra. So this description is given, and maybe after hearing it, maybe we want shanti, or maybe we want a more subdued kind of love of Krishna. Maybe after hearing this, we'll think, okay, Vaikuntha is good enough for me, because it's really intense. The kind of experience that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, it's for those who are ready to accept what, as described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it seems like poison. It's so intense, but it's actually the greatest sweetness. It's so intense that we can't be sure, is it? Is it good or is it bad? It's overwhelming. And of course, we're simply reading about it. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is experiencing it. And from his description, it seems that he's trying his best, being blessed with the full potency of Shuddha Saraswati, the potency of the Lord, by which she is Vak Devata, Devata. She is the goddess of speech. In the material world, there is Dushta Saraswati, which people are blessed with to develop material learning. But in the spiritual world, Shuddha Saraswati, she blesses the devotees with the ability to describe Krishna. But it seems that Vishwanath Chakravarti himself, in trying to describe this experience, he himself is struggling in the sense that it's indescribable, but he's trying to describe it. Anyway, let's get on with it. It's quite a long passage, so please be patient. Often when there are readings, the hearer's attention is not so focused. It seems to that when there are readings, it's not as focused as when a speaker is speaking with his own flow. But please try to listen, because these are the words of a great acharya, and giving us some idea of where we're supposed to go. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give. We're not supposed to remain in the gutter forever. Let us aspire to follow in the footsteps of the great acharyas who came to this world from the land of Prem, bringing with them full treasure of Prem, Jayanelo Prema Dhana, Karuna Prachur, that we sing on the disappearance day of great acharyas. That they came bringing the great, out of their tremendous mercy, they came bringing the great treasure of Prem, Krishna Prema. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the situation of someone who's on the threshold of Prem. He's in the situation where he finds There's no taste in material life, rather the opposite. Whatever he previously thought of as being very valuable, very important, very dear, it becomes totally distasteful to him. His whole experience of trying to enjoy this material world through his senses, it becomes totally as if repulsive to him. Then what happens? Then prem, just like a magnet, Krishna means who attracts. Akarshan means attraction. So from the same root, we have Krishna, who's all attracted. So Krishna, like a magnet, the prem, the love of Krishna, it's the magnetic force that attracts us to Krishna and attracts Krishna to the devotee. Sometimes we may have seen that there's a magnet and there's a metallic object and they move towards each other. So Krishna is attracted to the devotee's devotion and shows himself to the devotee. We have the description of Krishna showing himself to Narad. At that time, when Krishna sees the devotee, then all of the senses of the devotee become absorbed in Krishna. His eyes to see Krishna, his ears to hear Krishna, his sense of smell to smell Krishna. He wants to taste Krishna with his tongue, and he feels all his senses to be inadequate. Rupa Goswami also prayed, I wish I had craws and craws of tongues and craws of pairs of ears to chant and hear the holy name of Krishna. So all of Krishna's attractive qualities, they become as if imposed on the devotee, and the devotee is relishing the extreme. We're using the word extreme, but we have no idea what it's beyond the imagination. The sweetness, the fragrance, the youthfulness, everything about Krishna is so overwhelmingly attractive. And then it's not that it's just like that, but it goes on moment by moment increasing. And Vishwanath at the beginning of this description says that, I'm trying to describe this in poetic words, but it's an ocean of transcendental bliss, and it's not possible to explain. But he's doing his best. He gives an example, just like in the hot season. Now here in India, we're in the hot season. It's the middle of April by the Western calendar. It's hot. It's very hot. We can imagine. Well, we don't want to imagine, but the example is given. Going on a path in the desert, you're lost in the desert in this heat, and then you get the heat not only from the sun, but also reflecting up from the ground. It's like some hellish punishment. There's one hell described like that, where there's the sun is burning from the top, and the copper plate underneath is being heated underneath by fire. So like that. So you're just scorched. And then all of a sudden you come across an oasis with nice shelter from the sun and profuse supply of cool water under a banyan tree. Or like an elephant, similar example, an elephant caught in a forest fire with no escape, thinking now I'm finished. Then all of a sudden the rain clouds burst The rain clouds appear and burst. And this Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also gives this example. We sing it every day. Sangsara dava analalyudha loka tranaya karanya ghana ghanatvam praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya vandegaroshi charanaravindam. The mercy of the Guru, bringing the mercy of Krishna, just like thick rain clouds which pour down water to relieve the forest fire of material existence, which we in this material world are all, we're all afflicted by that. So the elephant then caught in a forest fire, no escape, and then all of a sudden the rain clouds come and burst and the forest fire is extinguished, the elephant is cooled, unexpected relief. A person suffering from a mortal disease, very painful disease, he's brought some nectar, quaff the nectar. Oh, it tastes so I'd lost any hope of there being anything. And when we're in such a suffering condition, all we can know is intense pain, and all of a sudden get this exquisitely sweet and drink which immediately dispels all the pain of the disease, all the weakness of the disease, all the distress, and nourishes our body. This is the effect of nectar. So all of these are just some examples which don't really explain the experience of perceiving Krishna directly with our senses. This is Krishna's greatest gift to us. He gives himself. First of all, the Krishna, he reveals to the devotee his own beauty. He impresses on the mind of the devotee, or the devotee becomes aware of the beauty of Krishna. And then what happens, that all of his senses, he wants to use them for seeing. He wants to use his ears for seeing Krishna. He wants to use his tongue for seeing Krishna. He wants to, the sense of sight is so attractive to him, seeing the form of Krishna, that all he wants to do is see Krishna. But in the meantime, he has paralysis and tears are flowing from his eyes, and he collapses in bliss. Then the Lord revives him, and then he next reveals the fragrance of his body to Krishna, which enters the nostrils of the devotee. And again, all the senses, the eyes which only want to see Krishna, now the eyes also want to smell, the ears also want to smell, the sense of touch wants to smell, and the devotee collapses, swoons in bliss. Then the Lord reveals his sonorous voice to the devotee's ears. Oh, my dear devotee, I am under your control. Don't be overwhelmed, but fully satisfy your desire by relishing me. Then all the senses want to become ears. They all want to become ears to hear the sound of Krishna, and the devotee faints. Then the Lord again touches the devotee with his lotus feet, and he touches his hands and his breast to the devotee and reveals his youthfulness to the devotee. He touches the devotee. How is that? To those who are in Dasya Rasa, in a mode of servitude, he puts his lotus feet on their heads. To those in the mood of friendship, Sakyaras, Krishna grasps their hands with his. To those in the mood of parental affection, he wipes away their tears with his own hands. Now, generally we think a parent will do that to a child, but sometimes the child will do to the parent also. For those in the mood of a lover, female lover in relation to Krishna, he embraces them. Then all the senses simply want to touch Krishna, and the devotee faints for the fourth time. And then Krishna gives the devotee the taste of his own lips. That's only for those who are in the mood, the loving mood of a female lover. And then the devotee takes all the senses, simply want to taste Krishna's lips. This is the description of Vishwanath Chaitanya Thakur, and then faints again because it's just too much. The experience is just more than the devotee. His physical frame, it's now completely spiritualized, but even that is not enough to accommodate the bliss that he feels. Now I got Krishna, and it is unimaginable, simply fainting. And then the Lord revives the devotee again and bestows on the devotee audarya, his quality of great generosity, by which the Lord reveals himself. All the qualities of the Lord which appeals to the various senses, the beauty for the eyes, the fragrance for the nose, the sound of Krishna's voice for the ears, the sense of touch for touching Krishna, the taste, they all manifest themselves all at once to the devotee's various senses. And then Krishna Prem, in accordance with the will of Krishna, increases, and the devotee is experiencing and at the same time desiring it more and more. And the example given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is that prem becomes like a moon over the ocean of bliss and churns up that ocean of bliss so that the waves become highly, it becomes a choppy sea. But this is not a dangerous sea. This is the agitation within the devotee's heart. And it's almost destroying the devotee. Is it pleasure or is it pain? Or we're going to go back to shanti, 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 or maybe just go back to Vaikuntha and just be peaceful and normal. But this is beyond Vaikuntha, the almost destructive bliss. Then prem takes over the mind of the devotee. And just as the moon presides over the ocean, then prem withdraws. And then that creates another kind of friction. There's been that all the different tastes. I want to see Krishna, I want to hear Krishna, I want to taste Krishna. And in this way, there's competition between all the different ways. We want to relish Krishna all at once. Remember, we're all in the gutter, but we should look up at the stars. We're not going to go there just by hearing about it. We have to follow our sadhana, serve Krishna, become free from all material desires. But this is where we are meant to go. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is revealing to us something of his own experience. And then the power of prema allows the devotee to experience all these different tastes simultaneously. And it's not that any one of them becomes... It's not that because you're multitasking, spiritually multitasking, experiencing the rup, rasa, shabda, gandha, sparsha, in all ways one is experiencing Krishna. It's not that any of the experiences become less, rather the full experience of all the senses is experienced at the same time. And Vishnuacharya Thakur in this regard uses the word achintya. It's inconceivable. It's something to be experienced. That you can try to explain it, but ultimately it's something to be experienced. And the devotee is trying to experience it more and more, all the different things, all at once, just like the example Vishnuacharya Thakur gives, is like a chatak bird who's waiting in this hot season. It's been weeks and months without any rain, and the chatak bird will only take water that comes from the sky, from the cloud. Then all of a sudden, after so much waiting, there's a huge downpour, and then the bird wants to catch all the drops all at once. But how can a little bird capture all the drops all at once? Even one drop will satisfy the bird, but it wants to taste every drop is of blissful to the bird. The example is given. So every experience of Krishna is blissful to the devotee. Then seeing Krishna, seeing that the devotee, he can't handle it. He's after all a jiva. How much prem can he take? Then Krishna thinks, and why should I withhold myself? Why not make it so the devotee can experience me? Then by his great mercy, his kripa shakti, the most important, the ruler of all his potencies, we hear in the Upanishads, parasya shakti vividhaiva shuyate swabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. The Supreme Lord has multi-potencies. His knowledge potency, his action potency, his power potency, by which everything is done automatically. But here we find out that his most important, the one which rules them all, is his mercy potency. And Krishna is especially merciful to his devotees. So he reveals, out of his mercy, he enables the little jiva who is... How can the jiva experience Krishna when the jiva is so small and Krishna is so great? But Krishna, by his achintya shakti, by his inconceivable potency, gives the little jiva who is now wrapped in love of Krishna, gives him the ability to be able to love Krishna, because otherwise love of Krishna is so great, how can a little jiva experience the full love of Krishna? Krishna prema is such an overwhelming experience. How can we take it without dying, without being overwhelmed? But the Lord Krishna, in his eyes there appears his mercy. And it appears in different forms. There's specifically the word that Vishnuacharya Thakur used here is vatsalya. Remember, we're discussing bhakta vatsal. So this is his great affection to the devotee. So he manifests himself as the master to the devotee who wants to relate to him in the mood of a servant, as a friend in the mood of someone who wants to relate to him as a friend, and so on. And especially, this is his great mercy, and especially in relation to the devotees who are in the mood of love, of romantic love, erotic love. Srila Prabhupada uses the term conjugal love. That approach to Krishna of romantic love, sexual love, if you want to, it's adi rasa. Vishnuacharya Thakur uses that term. We find in Srila Prabhupada's commentary on the first, to the very first verse of the Bhagavatam, Adi Rasa, the transcendental sexual love. So when a devotee approaches Krishna in that mood, then what to speak of the devotee's heart becoming melted and completely attracted by Krishna. Krishna's own heart becomes completely melted and attracted by the devotee. And in various ways, in different moods of the devotees. We talk about Dasya Bhav, Dasya Rati, Sakya Bhav, Vatsalya Bhav, Madhurya Bhav, the different kinds of relationships with Krishna. But it's not that it's you're in some box and everyone's all the same. They're all mechanical servants or friends, because everyone has a different mood. The basic sthai bhav, for instance, friendship, just like Balaram is in a mood of friendship, but he's also, among all the friends, Balaram is the number one. So Balaram loves Krishna, basically in the mood of friendship, but it's mixed with a kind of vatsalya. He's also like a superior, protecting Krishna, and also somewhat with dasya, because he's also in the mood of a servant to Krishna. So in this way, everyone has their own flavor and mix. Swarasiki Siddhi, their own perfectional stage of loving Krishna. And broad categories are given. Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, broad categories are given. So, Krishna, by his great mercy, he manifests within the hearts of the devotees, and even Atma Ramas Chamunayo Nigranta Apyarukrame Kurvantya Haitu King Bhaktim Itam Bhuta Guno Hare Hey. Even those who are Atma Rama, even those who made it to the platform, Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Now I'm fully satisfied in myself. Ah, very nice. But even such persons, the transcendental qualities of Krishna attract even someone who's prashanta, nishesha, manoratantaram, who's fully freed from the somersaults of the mundanely influenced mind, who is now completely satisfied. But Krishna attracts even such a person by his transcendental qualities and astonishes them. This is Adbhuta Rasa, is given as a secondary rasa, Adbhuta Rasa, the sense of wonder. But Adbhuta, the sense of wonder, is the specific characteristic of all rasa, something wonderful. Just like every time the devotees see Krishna, they say something new, fresh, wonderful, as if amazing, as if never seen before, amazing, and how blissful, how wonderful. So this is Krishna's, in this narration in Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur refers this to, this is Krishna's bhaktavatsalya, his great affection to his devotees. This quality of affection for his devotees, that is like an emperor which rules over all good qualities, just like in the first canto of Bhagavatam, it's described that all good qualities reside in Krishna, qualities such as satya, truthfulness, shocha, cleanliness and purity, daya, mercy, tapas, austerity. So, but all these good qualities presiding over all of them is Krishna's Bhakta Vatsalya, his greatly affectionate love for his devotees. And all these other qualities, they're simply assistants to Krishna's quality of his loving affection for his devotees. And as far as the, there are condemned qualities also. We just discussed these the other day, how the bad, what seem to be bad qualities, they become good qualities in Krishna. So illusion, laziness, error, intense longing, fickleness, arrogance, envy, violence, exertion, lamentation, dishonesty, anger, longing, fear, partiality, and dependency. These material qualities are not present in the body of the Lord, but by the agency, or for the sake of this Bhakta Vatsalya, Krishna, especially in his more human-like avatars, Rama and Krishna, these qualities become manifest, but for the sake of enhancing Krishna's love for his devotees. And now these faults become qualities. And in a previous talk, I read about that, how the apparently bad qualities become good qualities when they're exhibited, when they're manifest in Krishna for the sake of pleasing his devotees. Because everything Krishna does is to enjoy himself. And how does he enjoy himself? By pleasing his devotees. And how are his devotees pleased? By Krishna. They simply want to please Krishna. And the devotee simply wants to please Krishna, and Krishna simply wants to please the devotees. This is the loving competition which goes on. So the devotee is going on and on and on, trying to, is seeing the Lord, hearing the Lord, touching the Lord, tasting the Lord, smelling the Lord, and it is just going up and up and up and up and up and up. In his experience, we can simply imagine. We can hardly imagine, but we can begin to imagine because Vishwanath Chaitanya Thakur has kindly revealed this to us. So the devotee's heart is melting away, this, and at the same time experiencing all this, and at the same time contemplating how merciful is the Lord, how much he is Bhakta Vatsala, that even I hardly. Now, pray, I hardly have any love whatsoever, but the little glimmer of love, something is the, and Krishna is just overwhelming me. This, how much Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala, the devotee is thinking. And then the Lord says to the Krishna, from his own kindness, says the devotee, oh, you are such a good devotee, For so many births, you renounced the pleasures of home, wife, wealth, children, and all these simply for the sake of serving me. You went through so many miseries, so much difficulty you accepted, sometimes cold, sometimes heat, sometimes hunger, sometimes thirst, pain, disease, taking to a life of begging, being scorned by other people. What can I do for you? I can't give anything to you. You have so much pleased me. I've become your debtor. This is Krishna speaking to the devotee. And I could give you the, I could make you the Lord of the universe, or make you a great mystic yogi, or you're not interested in that. You give to a hungry man some straw which is suitable for cows. What's he going to do with that? So if you're a materialistic person, so many materialistic people come to Krishna. They want dhanam, janam, sundari, but a devotee already finished with, already finished with wives, wealth, women, followers. What can I give you? Krishna says. It's a simple thing. People come to the temple, they come to the mosque, they come to the church, they pray, give me this. Okay, all right, you want it? Okay, take it, all right. And the devotee comes, I only want you, and what can I give? And then the Lord is obliged, yes, you got me. I say, ye yatamang prapadyante tangsta taiva bhajami aham. I give myself, I reciprocate with my devotees. And devotees say, well, I want to give myself to you fully. And then what have I got to, what can I give in recompense? How can I reciprocate? Then I can only give myself to the devotee and become conquered by the devotee. And then the Lord becomes the devotee of his devotee. And then the devotee hearing this, these very sweet and affectionate words in his ears, the devotee says, oh, you are my master. You are an ocean of mercy. And how deep is the ocean? Maybe nowadays the scientists, they're always trying to do all kinds of things. What do they call it? A bathyscope or something? They go down, down, down and try to plumb the depths of the ocean. But if you're on a boat, you can't find how deep does it go? Maybe previously people, they let down chains or something to try to, but they can't find how deep does the ocean go? So Krishna's mercy, it's like that. We can't find the bottom. There's no bottom to it. Even if we think we've found the limits of Krishna's mercy, then the Krishna's mercy will expand more. The devotee says, I was being eaten, I was being attacked, devoured by the crocodiles of the sufferings of material existence, endless birth and death. The terrible current of material existence, and in that water there were the crocodiles of material miseries, and you, simply by your glance, you saved me from that. It's reminiscent of Gajendra, one of the most famous narrations, how the devotee even had come down to the level of being a dumb animal, but Krishna personally came to save him. Unfathomable mercy of Krishna. You are beyond all the material planets. What have you got to do with me? It's here in this material world. But your heart is soft like butter. And it melts with compassion. Little, even the slightest fire of love for you, and your heart melts with compassion. The devotee is praying to the Supreme Lord. In the form of the Guru, you destroy ignorance and lust, which keep us from you. And then, with the just like your wonderful form is like the Sudarshan Chakra, which, again, reminding us of the Gajendra Leela, you cut those crocodiles and free me from the clutches of their teeth. If a crocodile catches your arm or your leg, you're finished. You can't get free. What are you going to do? Only way, Sudarshan Chakra will come, cut the head of the crocodile. So there was my desire to serve you, just like a maidservant serves you. So you, as the Guru, you gave me the syllables of your mantra. You destroyed my suffering, and then you gave me the process of constant hearing and chanting and remembering your qualities and name, and purified me. We should go on with this. That day will come. Kobe hobe bolo shede nama. Amar aparada guchi. Shudha nama ruchi. Kripa bole hobe hridaye sancha. That day will come. If we go on with this process of hearing and chanting, trying to become free from offenses, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying, when will that day come? The holy name will manifest in our hearts. And then from Naam, Guna, Rup, Leela, Krishna will manifest himself in all his aspects to us. That day will come. We should go on. We're in the gutter, but we shouldn't remain. Let us go on chanting. Let us stick to this process of Krishna consciousness. And then, Atashri Krishna Nama Adina Bhavad Grahyam Indriyai Sivon Mukhehi Jivada Swayameva Spiratiyata. The day will come when Krishna will reveal himself to us. There's no material means to understand God. Someone asked me to debate with some atheist. What are you going to debate? People are debating with atheists. Theists are debating with atheists, but it's like bringing a halogen lamp to a blind man. What's he going to see? Actually, maybe a blind man can see some experience, even if he can't see form, he can see some light. So at the most, they can go to the impersonal Brahman. It requires the mercy of Krishna, and when one can begin to see him, and then by hearing and chanting, we take the process. Krishna manifests as the spiritual master to give us the process. But go on. There's a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that's in Sharanagati. Oh, hey, Dinajan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has come in this Kali Yuga to lift up so many fallen people. So you can also, Tumi Ojaya, you also go get that mercy. Oh, hey, Dinajan, in the form of the Guru, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. And gives us the process. You go, you do the chanting, you go on with it, keep on doing it. And this way, by going on chanting and hearing, Krishna will reveal himself, the suffering will go away, and gradually the remembrance of Krishna will come. And again, by association of devotees, we get the spirit and understanding of how to serve Krishna. It's we may say, how to serve Krishna? Okay, sweep the floor. But it's not just sweeping the floor, but it's the whole attitude of serving Krishna. So the devotee prays that I'm very stupid, I'm very fallen, I'm the lowest, and I haven't done any real service to you. And actually, I'm a miserly, selfish person. I deserve to be punished. But showing yourself to me, you have made me drink nectar. This is the attitude of the devotee. And you've shown yourself to me. I'm feeling such bliss. But at the same time, I'm feeling so bad in my heart when you, Krishna, are saying to me that now I am indebted to you. Now, what should I do? What should I do? You, Krishna, are being so kind to me. But if I think back, oh, how many offenses have I committed? On and on and on, life after life. I can't even begin to remember them. And if I simply begin to remember them, my heart hurts. And Krishna, You're so kind. I can't even count all the offenses. But let me suffer. The devotee says, let me suffer for the reactions to those offenses. What offense? For instance, now the devotee starts to think, I compared the beauty of your limbs to the beauty of the monsoon cloud. That's an offense. Because your limbs are so much more beautiful. It's just ridiculous to compare you to the monsoon clouds. I compared your beautiful lotus feet to newly sprouted leaves. But this is ridiculous. And I'm trying to give some analogy, but it's like taking a few burned mustard seeds and comparing them to a golden mountain or a chickpea in comparison to a touchstone, a jackal in comparison to a lion, or a mosquito in comparison to Garuda. What are these analogies? By trying to praise you, I've actually, because the analogy is so inadequate, it's more like an unintelligent offense. I'm trying to glorify you with some poetry. And common people may think, yes, 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 very good. But actually seeing your form, I realize I should be ashamed. I'm trying to describe you with my own words, but it's like the tender plant is like a cow comes and eats the example, another example given, like the cow comes and eats the plant, but your beauty is like a creeper, and I shouldn't try to eat it up. So in this way, the devotee praises the Lord, and the Lord becomes more pleased with the devotee. Then he reveals everything to the devotee, the necessary for the devotee to serve him. He reveals to the devotee Vrindavan, the desire trees of Vrindavan, the yoga peat where the Krishna and the gopis come together, Sri Radha, by the mercy of Krishna and his Leela Shakti, Radha with Lalita and Lalita's assistants, his friends such as Subal, Sudam, Sridam, Dhamma, all these become revealed. The cows, Krishna's cows, the Yamuna, the Govardhan, the forest, Bandiravan, Nandishvara, all the different devotees of Krishna, the mothers, fathers, friends, brothers, servants. And in this way, the Lord submerges the devotee in the enchanting tidal wave of bliss and then disappears with all his entourage, gives the devotee a taste of the bliss and inspires him to go on searching and searching for that more and more. And eventually, the devotee, when he's ready, fully purified, takes birth in a family in Bhoma Vrindavan, in Vrindavan revealed on this earth, and serves the Lord in Vrindavan in that situation, before final transfer to the spiritual world, Golok Vrindavan. And what more should I say about this? What is to be said? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, who has introduced us to this unlimited ocean of bliss, who is Krishna and love of Krishna, who has introduced us to all the acharyas with all their outpourings of bliss, madhurya kadambani, a cloud bank of sweetness of love of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Parivadatu jano yatatata vananu mukaro na bayang vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.